This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Outspoken. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like this week in particular, my newsfeed has been full up of very smug morning people.
Yeah, well, Mitchell Orville's one of those smug morning people because he seems to be really keen to let everybody know that he is a morning person.
He's the bloody king of the morning people, I'd have to say.
I know, because he's been getting up at 4 a.m. to watch the sunrise, and he's gone as far to say that the sun is his religion, and he's encouraging other people to go down to the beach and get all charged up from the sun's energy.
It's quite ironic considering that he was very much a night owl before he became this morning person. I mean, good on him. I have always wanted to be a morning person. So I was very interested to see Mitch's recent YouTube video where he documented his morning. And it was pretty interesting because he got Chloe to come along to the beach with him because it was this special woo-woo day. The 8th of the 8th is meant to be a day where you get even more energy from the sun, something like that. Anyway, the overall tone of the YouTube was this smugness that they were morning people. And I do really think that morning people think that they're better than other people. What do you guys think?
Now, I don't want to throw any shade on any listeners who may be morning people, but I do feel like there is a certain level of smugness that is somewhat similar to those who go to the gym. If you're a morning person, you've got to document it. You've got to show everyone how productive you are. And I do fall into that category. When I do have to get up early for work, I'm sending you guys Snapchats with the time on it. I'm showing you everything I'm doing just to prove that I'm up early.
To be honest, I feel like I'm just a little bit jealous of morning people because I wish I was a morning person, because it's not like as a night owl you feel compelled to actually share the fact that you're up really late at night.
Because it's shameful.
It is shameful. Like, I'll send emails sometimes to clients at 1 a.m. and I'm actually working really, really hard, but I feel like they'll think, oh, that's a bit gross that she's up at 1 a.m.
The thing I find unfair about morning and night people is it's actually a biological thing. So you can't really pick which one you are. And as a self-proclaimed night owl, I find it unfair that the working world is set up to benefit morning people because I have to get up early every morning and it's horrible. Like, you actually feel like shit and that you're not functioning properly. Funnily enough, though, there was a study done between morning people and night owls, and it turned out that night owls are actually more intelligent and more likely to be wealthy compared to morning people. Now, I feel like this is so against the lazy stigma that night owls have.
Maybe night owls are technically smarter because they've got their recommended 8 hours sleep. Whereas if you're getting up at 3 a.m. to watch the sunrise, you're tired all day long and then you're having to take naps during the day to make up for it.
But the people that get up really early in the morning, they tend to go to bed really early. So they do get their 8 hours sleep. I think that the reason why night owls are smarter is because they have to work a little bit harder in order to fit into the everyday world. So night owls are also meant to be more creative. And I do feel like when you only have a short amount of time to actually get something done, when you're at your optimal level, you then have to really push. So I think that might have something to do with it.
Well, do you know what? I'd actually love to see what Chloe and Mitch do for the rest of the day, because they show us what they do in the morning, but have they just crashed for the rest of the afternoon?
I get the feeling that Mitch is using that movie room a lot for the rest of the day after 8 a.m. It's funny though, because have you guys ever felt like you need to change up being a night owl? Like, have you ever tried being a morning person?
Well, when I was working in breakfast radio a couple of years ago, I was literally forced to become a morning person. I had to get up at 3:30 to get to the station by 4 a.m. to start writing up stories. And everyone tried to get me onto coffee, but I refused to have any of it. So I was just using my pure, I don't know, I suppose, energy to be up and about at that time. And I
actually
hated
the sunrise. Is that what it was?
Well, maybe I was charged by the sunrise. Who knows? But I actually finished at 9 a.m. So I would get home at 9 a.m., go to sleep, then get back up to go to my other job in the afternoon. So I kind of ruined all the hard work of getting up early.
Well, so if it makes you feel any better, it's actually harmful to push your body to wake up any earlier. So you can keep sleeping in because that's the way your body prefers it.
Well, I think it explains why I was in such a foul mood with everyone when I was doing that stint in radio. I would love, though, to know whether our listeners are morning people or night people. Let's put a thread in our Facebook community and tell us, do you thrive in the morning or in the nighttime?
And also, do you judge other people if they are night owls or if they're morning people?
Welcome to the ultimate girls' night chatty video.
This week, Sarah's Day shared a wedding Q&A on her YouTube channel where she opened up about the lead up to her wedding and discussed how she turned down a $30,000 couture wedding gown. Sophie, I really did enjoy this vlog. Please tell us what went down.
I really enjoyed this video too because I felt like it was a really rare look into the lead up of someone's wedding. Usually people are a little bit more guarded about this. So Sarah really opened up and shared lots of photos of the different dresses she tried on and also photos of unsuccessful hair trials. And in her little teaser video, I was quite taken back by some of these hairstyles. So one of them was a Princess Leia look, which really didn't work for her. And another was a very sleek bun. And I just thought it was really good of her to actually share these experiences because I know a lot of brides feel it's almost taboo to show the other options they were looking at before their wedding.
It's a bit of a dangerous thing to do because I feel like this opens it up to a lot of comparison around which dress looks better. And when I saw the dresses, because Sarah told her audience that she'd really tossed up between two different dresses, and I actually feel like the one that she didn't pick suited her more.
Yeah, Kay, I actually also preferred the other dress that she was going to go for. So for people who haven't seen it, to paint the picture, when Sarah began looking for her wedding dress, she said that she gravitated towards more of a structured, heavy style of dress, which isn't typically her style. And she said that she was really in two minds about whether to be true to her original style or pick something that's completely different and a bit more of a dramatic look. So she really looked at two stores, and the second store she went to had a really large range of styles. So her mum said, why don't you just try on everything? Don't close yourselves off to dresses. So this is where the big sponsorship deal comes into it. So she explains, after looking at this dress shop, a large couture brand reached out to her and said, hey, we really want to collaborate with you. We're going to give you $30,000 for you to design with us your own dress. This is what Sarah said about it.
And I actually got contacted by a pretty prestigious bridal couture brand here in Sydney. So they said they wanted to collaborate with me and gift me a dress. So I ended up going for a fitting, and I just kind of truly realized that that couture brand and that couture style wasn't me. Like, I felt really uncomfortable. I actually didn't want to design my own dress. I'm like, I don't even know what I want. I don't want to sit down and draw out the bodice and draw out the skirt. I don't know what I want. I just want to try something on, love it, pay for it, and go.
Now, Sarah visited the store to try on gowns, and she said that she felt uncomfortable as the dresses weren't really her style because there was lots of intricate lace involved and gems, and she really didn't want to be part of the designing process. She said that she felt really lucky and privileged to be asked, but she just had so many things going on that she didn't really feel like she was an expert in designing her dress, so she ultimately turned down this deal. What do you guys think about that?
Gosh, I feel like if it was me, I really wouldn't have turned this deal down because I feel like with Pinterest, you don't have to design too much. You really could have just gone with a Pinterest board and said, this is what I like. I mean, a $30,000 dress, you're never going to get offered that again.
Well, she also said that she didn't really want to feel like she was having to work at her wedding by creating content and also tagging suppliers. And I feel like she really wanted to point out that she actually paid for this whole wedding. Here's a grab of what she said.
So both of them are from Natalie Marie. Whenever I talk about brands, people think that it's because we got it for free. As soon as you have like over X amount of followers, people assume you get your whole wedding for free. I'm telling you, that's not the case. And you don't really want...
Oh, wish.
No, I don't. I don't. Because
way cheaper.
No, because you don't want to spend your whole wedding saying like tagging things and like doing pictures for people. It's like,
it's just funny, like it seems like it's such a simple thing to do, but a lot of thought goes into like branding content.
Yeah. It's like we just wanted to enjoy the day.
It's strange because I understand that you wouldn't want to feel like your wedding is work. However, all the tagging sort of comes after the wedding, and considering the wedding day was filmed professionally, most people would just be able to, like, you could put a link to the couture designer in the show notes of the YouTube, you know, tag them on the Instagram account. I find that funny because every single other item of the wedding was tagged on Instagram except the dress.
Yeah, I do agree that it was weird that the dress she ultimately chose wasn't tagged. However, I think that if you're taking on board a $30,000 bridal dress deal, they're obviously going to have large expectations on what you have to do. Maybe they gave her a huge brief that she had to fill out.
I can't imagine the obligations would have been that much, to be honest, because I would assume, like, what more can you do about a dress other than tag it? Lots of people would have been watching the YouTube and would go, oh my gosh, I love that dress. I want to know where it's from.
Yeah, it's more of an organic partnership considering she is getting married. Like, it makes a lot of sense for then her dress to be tagged. I don't think anyone would have thought any differently from her. I did find it refreshing that she mentioned that her wedding dress that she picked was $3,000 and that she had turned down a $30,000 dress for a $3,000 dress, because for someone who is going to be looking at wedding dresses soon, it is quite intimidating to hear some of the price tags attached to these couture gowns.
Yeah, I did find it really refreshing. And the dress in question that she actually ended up picking was her second choice. So she didn't end up going for the flowy dress that was very much her style. She opted for this sleek outfit that her friend Tanika picked out. And she only managed to stumble across it by chance because she actually rejected the dress as soon as her friend showed it to her. And she only tried it on because the owner of the store wanted to check out the bust size of the dress, and she ended up falling in love with it. So even though she liked it, she actually still put the deposit on the second dress, but then had a dream the next night that she should have worn the sleek dress. So it's quite interesting. I mean, I suppose because we're waiting to go dress shopping with you, I find all these details really interesting. And I feel like it's so evident that you've just got to try on every style.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of things come to Sarah's day in her dreams. Didn't her son's name, Fox Ocean, come to her in a dream? Maybe she's very clued in on her dreams.
Exactly. Well, what about how she mentioned that the night before her wedding, she discovered that her earrings were missing? This story absolutely cracked me up. I can just imagine being in this position.
Oh, this did remind me of something that would happen to me, because she apparently tore apart this whole cabin that she was staying in trying to find these earrings. And they're quite a signature earring, aren't they? They were like a pearl drop earring. So I feel like it's not something that you could go without. Obviously, every detail had been planned for this wedding. And she actually ended up calling her bridesmaids, asking if anyone had accidentally taken the earring or if she'd left it in their room.
And the issue was, of course, that she had her wedding in Byron Bay and the earrings were back in Sydney.
I can just imagine this happening at my wedding, because I'd get to the point where I'd start blaming people. Like, someone has clearly taken the earring. I was really surprised to see that Sarah then called one of her friends that was coming to the wedding. So they were flying over at 5 a.m. the next morning. She called them at 9:30 at night to ask them to go over to her house to check if she'd left them there. And apparently this guy lived about 50 minutes away. I don't know if I would have been that nice. I don't know if I had been invited to someone's wedding, if I would go and do that.
Yeah, but and they had to get a locksmith to break into her house because it has such security that you cannot get in. Like, if they tried to break in, the police were going to be called.
Yeah. This was pretty interesting, because before the wedding, there was a lot of questions over Sarah's Day security because of a hate page that was trying to reveal the location of her wedding. So a lot of people were saying, gee, I wonder if they have much security. It turns out they have a heap of security. So apparently even if you go near to their property, there's a silent alarm that starts going off and it gets reported back to their security team, who reports it to them and then ultimately calls the police.
Which is fair enough.
Oh yeah, it's good to know that they are protected in that way. But ultimately it becomes difficult when you're trying to get into this house to get an earring. So Sarah's sister actually had a locksmith friend who was called up also at nighttime to ask to come down and break into this place.
Can you imagine what a dick you would feel if they had gone through all of this and the earrings weren't there? Because the earrings were there. Crisis was averted. This to me showed that Sarah must have been a little bit of a bridezilla, because I think she actually had other earring options in Byron Bay, but just not these ones.
To be honest, I could imagine having a meltdown over something similar to this.
I could imagine
that
too.
When you have your heart set on it and it's your wedding and you've got it in your image in your head that this is what you're going to wear, you've got so much stress going on. As she said, this was the straw that broke the camel's back.
What have you been doing?
Pop Specs ad.
What?
Well, you know I represent Pop Specs, darling. We're doing a new ad. We're up-marketing the image.
What are Pop Specs?
A Western Australian mummy blogger that goes by the handle The Simple Folk has accused another unnamed influencer of copying her. In the curated world of Instagram, is this a form of flattery or is something more sinister at play? Kate, before we get into it, who is the woman behind The Simple Folk?
Well, her name is Bohanna Gerritsen, or Bo as she likes to be called, and she's a 34-year-old mum from the south of Western Australia. Now, she has three adorable children under the age of six called Indiana, Archer, and Olive, and a husband called Ty. Now, in addition to her Instagram account, she also has a blog where she says she documents her road tripping, coffee roasting, and daydreaming as a mother of three. Her account is very aesthetically pleasing. It's a lot of linen. It's a lot of pastel tones and beaches. It's kind of got a Byron Bay vibe to it, even though she's from Western Australia. Now, she started her Instagram account in the late stages of her pregnancy with her second child, Archer, and she continued to grow her following when Archer was born. Now, originally, Bo said she started her Instagram as a way to network with other mums, but her focus is now on capturing her family's lifestyle and adventures in a more candid way. Now, Sophie, can you tell us what has happened? Because I feel like everyone is talking about this drama.
Yeah, well, the drama really unfolded when Bo shared this to her Instagram story. She said, "I'm not sharing this next slide lightly. This has taken me over 5 years to build up the courage to post. This is a very, very small snapshot of what I've been dealing with for the last few years on here. I don't want to be the mean guy. I don't want to mum shame. There are no rules on Instagram, and for a long time, I was made to believe this behavior is normal. I'm posting this as a final call to hopefully have it stopped. Some of these images have been recreated days, weeks, and even years after I've originally posted them. I don't want this to get nasty, and I don't want anyone to target this individual if you know who they are. This will be the last time I post about this." Now, Bo then shared a grid of images comparing her posts to those she alleges have been copied by the unnamed influencer. And after sharing these stories, Bo received an outpouring of love. She said, "I have been holding on to this for so many years and had such fears over sharing this publicly. Fears that people would think I was crazy, that no one would understand or take it seriously. I feel sick that I allowed this to continue for so long out of fear and always giving the benefit of doubt. I hope this is the wake-up call they need." She then went on to say that she won't be sharing this individual's handle as she didn't want to out the person. And I think that's been the most clever part of her strategy.
Yeah, I think it strengthens her point and it also doesn't pit the two women against each other. Interestingly, there are people being chatting in our Facebook community about this. And we do know who the account is. And we're not going to name this person because I don't think that's constructive. But it is interesting that the person lives very close to where she lives. And they also have a similar amount of followers. So it's not like it's some smaller influencer that's doing this, that they are pretty much now on par with each other in terms of following.
The thing is, I mean, because she's got such a large following, people were always going to pick up who this woman is.
Well, yeah, well, particularly because she put their images side by side. And it's quite scary because when you look at these images, they are carbon copies of each other.
Well, they do have the old saying that imitation is the greatest form of flattery. What do you guys think in this instance?
It just seems weird. Now Kate's pointed out that they live near each other. I suppose, as you said, it can be flattering sometimes, but I think it's verging on a bit obsessive.
I think there's a difference also in taking inspiration from what someone does than flat out copying them.
Yeah, well, for people that haven't seen the photo side by side, the accused account has been shown to be copying the exact locations and poses and composition and even the clothes. And the accused person even has the same amount of children as Bo. So she's got two girls and a boy. It's just...
Kate, now are you implying that she's purposely had the same amount of children?
No, I'm not implying that, but it's just bloody weird. I just think that I would feel a bit uneasy about this whole thing, particularly because this accused person has allegedly moved very close to the original mummy blogger. Like, it's just weird.
It's a bit like Christy Swadling because she was accused of copying Sarah's Day's exact aesthetic. And if you go back and watch her vlogs, they are carbon copies of Sarah's.
Yeah, but I think there's a difference between copying an aesthetic to actually flat out copying the composition of people's photos, because I feel like when this topic was bandied around, a lot of people online were like, "Oh, well, mummy bloggers' feeds all look the same." I mean, I tend to agree. I mean, even when I watch YouTubers, I find that all their vlogs are basically the same. Like, they talk the same. They're wearing the same clothes. They do the same activities. They're doing their emails or getting their takeaway coffees and having acai bowls. However, I think in this instance, when we're discussing the simple folk, I definitely think it's more than copying an aesthetic. And while a lot of us, I, for one, cringe when influencers throw around the word content creator, it is quite clear when you look at Bo's Instagram account that there has a lot of time and effort been put into her feed, and she is a very talented photographer. And it doesn't seem fair that her account is being completely copied by someone, not to mention how creepy it actually is.
Do you think that this unnamed influencer could have started out as a bit of a super fan of Bo?
Yes.
And she's just wanted to be like her. And she's taken, as we said, quite a lot of inspiration from her. It's almost quite sad that she went to the extent of copying her so much, because they could have almost formed a really great friendship or collaboration.
Have we heard anything from the influencer who's been accused of copying? Has she come out and said anything?
No, I mean, I suppose you wouldn't really want to put up your hand and say, oh yeah, that's me. I mean, it is interesting because Bo in the past has said that she hopes her feed inspires others to explore their surroundings and to capture those experiences. But I feel like this person has just taken it far too literally.
Well, on paper, very much my type.
Just a trigger warning here, this segment touches on issues relating to suicide. If you do need to talk to someone, please call Lifeline on 13 11 14. The UK's broadcast regulator has warned shows like Love Island could be taken off the air if they fail to properly look after their contestants. The warning comes after the TV watchdog received 25,000 complaints following an episode of Love Island that aired this week. There's been a lot of discussion about the islanders' mental health following the suicides of two former cast members and former Love Island host Caroline Flack. Amy, can you explain what took place in this episode that's upset so many viewers?
Yeah, well, the episode was based on a trivia night challenge, which was dubbed a movie night, and it was girls versus boys. So if the girls won a point, they got to pick a video to watch of the boys during their time on Love Island and vice versa. So a lot of these videos were controversial. One showed Liam doing a three-way kiss with two girls in Casa Amor, none of which were his partner Millie. It also showed Jake telling the boys that he initially didn't feel like he was attracted to his now girlfriend Liberty, as he didn't feel like he wanted to rip her clothes off. However, the video which everyone was talking about was a clip which showed Teddy, who was partnered up with Faye, telling another girl in Casa Amor that he is technically single and finds himself sexually attracted to her. So following the movie night, Faye confronted Teddy about the clip and she got very heated. She gave him the finger multiple times and yelled at him. So for context, Teddy had been quite respectful to Faye and Casa Amor. So I would say it's safe to say the clip was actually taken out of context.
Poor Teddy, he has been shafted by producers on the show. Originally, a postcard came in that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago that made him look as though he was cheating on Faye. And now the producers have done him dirty again by showing this clip when he literally acted like an angel in Casa Amor and did nothing.
It's quite clear that this is targeted at Teddy because of who he's coupled up with, because Faye is known to be very hot-headed and the producers know that this is how she would react to this type of video.
Now, of the 25,000 complaints a regulator received for this episode, 24,000 of those complaints were directed at Faye's behaviour. So the regulator have said that they're going to assess the complaints and determine whether they need to investigate. So the incident has also raised debate online about whether it was ethical of Love Island to air these clips because it has caused a lot of the islanders' emotional distress.
So those 24,000 people, were they calling for the show to step in and remove Faye or to tell her off for talking to Teddy like that?
From my knowledge, a lot of the complaints were saying that Faye was very abusive, and if a man had acted in that way, they would have been removed from the villa.
We've seen it on shows like Married at First Sight where people have slammed the experts for not stepping in and stopping toxic conversations between couples.
I mean, we did see on Love Island Australia, people come in and break up a fight between Eden and one of the other contestants when things got physical. I suppose things didn't look like they were physically going to get out of hand, but she was acting in a very aggressive nature. She continued to give Teddy the finger right at his face. Yeah. She didn't back down at all.
Well, I suppose the concern has been, you know, for the welfare of Teddy being treated like that, but also Faye's reaction, you can see how emotionally distressed she is from receiving this information, which a lot of people have said has been taken out of context. And she's also been receiving a lot of threats online. So the family members of the Love Island contestants, they actually look after their Instagram pages. And her parents have put out a statement saying, Faye is human. She may not always get things right. There are human beings managing the Islanders' social media pages who will be seriously affected by your comments. We ask that everyone please remember this before commenting or messaging. What do you guys think about the criticism being thrown towards Faye? Do you think it was a fair reaction, or do you think maybe she had a reason for being so rude to Teddy?
I think it's quite fair to say from what we've seen about Faye on the show is she does have a lot of distrust towards a partner. She was already voicing concern about making Teddy her boyfriend because she didn't feel ready for that commitment. I think she is someone who puts a real wall up because she has been very hurt by past relationships. So I think there was a lot of hurt in her response.
It's very clear she's so vulnerable and she's trying to pretend that she's not and being this bigger than life character and trying to act like she doesn't care when it's actually the complete opposite. She really cares. And I, watching it, I mean, I'm not saying I would react like this, but I would, I am a person that gets very defensive and is very jealous. So I was looking at this, I mean, I did laugh. I did laugh when she gave Teddy the finger, but then I also was feeling sorry for him when I saw him crying in the diary room.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I felt so sorry for Teddy. The way he was treated was appalling, but I can also see from Faye's point of view why she reacted, and it wasn't Teddy's fault. It was the producer's fault for manipulating her feelings about the issue.
I do think what was quite troubling, though, was seeing how calm Teddy was back to her. He was obviously trying to get her to sit down and just have a conversation with him about it. In that instance, because she wasn't calming down, I think that would have been a perfect time for one of the producers to call her into the beach club or whatever their diary room, beach hut, and say, hey, let's just calm you down for a second. Let's not worry about show ratings. We've already got enough from her. Come inside and let's calm down and work out a solution. So they didn't both go to bed really distraught and upset.
Yeah, well, I suppose we don't really know what happened behind the scenes, but what I found really interesting...
Well, we do, because she continued the whole night to have a go.
No, but I mean, we haven't seen whether the producers have stepped in.
I think they should have shown if they did step in.
Well, what I find really interesting is that Love Island actually decided to bring in this new segment, the movie night, because previously they featured a task where islanders had to guess different tweets from the public, and they were always really mean impressions from the public about
Weren't they headlines as well, like in the newspaper?
Yeah, and there was also, remember they had a lie detector challenge, and that was actually scrapped in 2018 because ITV bosses decided to pull the pin because there was a death of a guest on another television show called The Jeremy Kyle Show, which used a lie detector segment. So a man died of suicide after he was accused of cheating on his partner. So they decided to pull the pin. And there was thought that they also removed the tweet segment following the death by suicide of a number of contestants as well. But then they've brought back this segment, which is arguably worse.
Oh, it's way worse because these people, they're seeing conversations taken completely out of context and actually not time stamped either, because I felt really sorry for Liberty seeing Jake talk about her behind her back, saying that he wasn't physically attracted to her. That happened on the first week. So it was really hard to see that happen. I find it interesting because one thing that is clear that the Love Island producers have taken out of the show is actually seeing the couples physically intimate with each other, because there was a contestant who did die from suicide after the show and she was shown having sex in a cupboard. Now, obviously that would have been really hard to come out of the show and have publicized and people talking about it, people seeing it. So I think it's good that they have removed that element of the show.
But that being said, they show other stuff under the covers where you can pretty much make out what's happening.
Well, I read an article that said that Love Island has made a conscious effort not to actually show any sex scenes. And they did imply that a lot of contestants have actually had sex this year.
Oh. Well, they always air those conversations where they talk about what base that they're at, and they kind of make it a bit of a joke in the show, and I do find that a good way to discuss it. It, you know, we know what's happened, but we don't actually need to see it.
Yeah. Well, do you guys think it's an ITV Love Island problem, or do you think it's a problem with the general public? Because this year, especially following the tragic death of Caroline Flack, there has been a huge campaign calling for people to be nice to contestants on reality TV. And not long after, I think it was the first week of Love Island, the contestants' Instagram accounts were receiving death threats.
I do think the general public need to take responsibility for their actions, because we all know that this is a reality TV show. And while it may not be as overproduced as a show like The Bachelor, I mean, I feel like people are very much cottoning on that The Bachelor is very cut up and there's enough time and production around the show filming and when it airs that they can create storylines. Whereas everyone's always thought that Love Island is a bit more organic because they only produce the show like a day before in advance. So I don't think they are creating characters per se, but they definitely are creating drama by introducing segments like this and sending in postcards. So I think people need to realize that the producers are being very manipulative, and that they're, you know, Faye and Teddy, they're basically like lab rats, that they're sort of putting in these scenarios and seeing how they react. So I feel like, okay, yes, Faye did not react well, but knowing what we know about her, it seems like that is probably how she was going to react. So why don't we control how we react in the outside world to that behavior and not send someone death threats?
Yeah, just see it for what it is. It's meant to be a TV show that's entertaining. Interestingly, just to close on, former Love Islander Rachel Finney, who was in this year's series,
She's actually gone on to praise ITV too for looking after her mental health during the show. She said she spoke to a therapist every single day whilst in the villa, and she said she's received ongoing mental health checks. So she said she gets regular calls from a therapist since leaving the villa. And former Love Islander Molly May has also previously praised the show for looking after their contestants. So they seem to have stepped that up a little bit.
It will be interesting to see when Faye and Teddy come out of the villa, so see what they have to say.
Well, I think that's all we have time for. Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We all hope you have an amazing weekend.
And if you would like to join in on the conversation, please join us in our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.
And if you haven't already, please go and subscribe on Spotify and also Apple Podcasts and leave us a review if you haven't already.